States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Teresa Hunt will be joining us to explain the role of the technical delegate at dressage shows. But first, our tip this week comes from Margaret Freeman.
I thought a good idea might be talking about how to do a perfect center line. I see a lot of riders at training and first level who are kind of insecure about the start of the test. Once they're into it, they look much more comfortable, but they are not really comfortable on the center line. Maybe they don't ride many center lines at home. And unfortunately, that's their first impression, so I think it's very important. To start with, when you're thinking about your center line test, you want to look around the outside of the ring to see which way you're going to be turning at A. It might be determined by the footing on the outside of the ring. There may be only one way you can turn when you get to A. But ideally, at the start of the test, you want to turn inside of A, not go around it and then do a serpentine back. If you turn inside of A, you're going to be straight on the center line to start with. But if you go around A, you're going to have to make a curvy line to get back on it, and that can be hard. You want to think ahead about how you're going to do your salute and which way you're going to turn at C. That might determine which hand you're going to put your whip in. You want to put the whip in the hand where it would do the most good, but some people like to put the whip in the hand that they're going to turn at C so they can remember which way to turn at C. Or you might want to put the whip in your right hand and salute with your left hand and vice versa. So you want to plan that ahead and make sure that when you do your salute, that you salute with a hand that's not holding the whip. That can be obviously awkward. When you turn inside of A, you look all the way down the center line, lock eyes with a judge, and ride as straight as you can. The judge can't tell if your center line is, if the halt is square. If there's only one judge at C, they can't tell if your halt is square. So the most important thing is to make sure your halt is straight, rather than worrying so much about whether it's square. I see a lot of riders who are uncertain about where X is. They look to the right or the left, and that makes the center line look very awkward. There's a really neat trick about that. If you lock eyes with a judge and ride straight on the center line, when E and B disappear from your peripheral vision, you halt. You'll be right over X. It's a really cool trick, and you don't have to change your position or eyesight to do it. I see a lot of horses, especially at training at first level, cross their legs going into the halt, and that says to me as the judge that the rider has used too much hand going into the halt rather than leg, and they've crashed their horse onto their forehand. So you want to practice a halt where you ride forward off your leg into a soft hand, not a pulling hand. Otherwise, the horse will cross his legs. Now, there's a new rule, or I shouldn't say new rule, but on the new dressage test for 2015, they are specifying that the halt must be at least 3 seconds. So you don't want to be in a hurry and rush off too quickly. The salute should be very straightforward. You don't wave your hand around like some sort of elaborate salam. You just drop your hand, drop your head, raise your head, pick up your reins, and off you go. But you sort of want to count to yourself at the same time if you can, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Make sure that it's a good 3 seconds. Now, I see a lot of people have trouble getting their horse anywhere near C. And I think especially in a training level test, the hardest moment in the entire test is from the move off at C until the turn, the move off at X until the turn at C. And again, there's a really cool trick that will help you make that turn more easily, especially on a green horse. As you ride straight forward from X, you will be riding forward toward a judge who's sitting maybe in a horse trailer with a card table and a lot of paper, or they're sitting in a car, or there might be flowers, and it's kind of scary to the horse. And within a couple of strides of X, the horse starts to go, I don't think I want to go there. And the horse slides from side to side. The trick is, if the horse knows he's going to be able to turn, you will be able to get him to go straight. It's when they think you're going to ride them straight into C or into that judge's box that they get worried. So ride straight forward. When you feel the horse start to go insecure between your legs, just turn your eyes, not your body, just your eyes in the direction of the turn you're going to make it see, and the horse will usually calm right down. You'll be able to ride him straight forward off your leg, and then when you get to the point where you really want to make your turn, all you have to do is bring your inside shoulder back to follow the line of your eyes, and the horse will make a very nice, smooth turn at C. And he won't make a very common mistake, which is to sort of slide in the opposite direction, going right first before going left, which is a very obvious problem to the judge at sea. Before you even think about entry, however, you want to make sure that you know which way you're going to turn at sea. I think it's a really good idea to review the test at the very last second to double-check that. But all of the USEF tests, at least, have planned this out for you. All of the odd-numbered tests, tests 1 and 3, turn left. All the even-numbered tests turn right. In other words, test 2. So if you can't remember which way to turn at C, I would at least go left, even if you're not sure, especially if you're not sure, because you'll have a better-than-average chance of turning the right direction, even if you can't remember.
Thanks to Margaret for this week's tip, and she will be joining us again for more training tips. And now Teresa Hunt joins us to explain the responsibilities of a technical delegate at dressage shows, and I began by asking her what the role involved.
A TD is a representative of the United States Equestrian Federation. And we go to every show, every recognized show, and we are there as a resource for the competitors, the judges, show management, and especially as an advocate for the horse. And we have no favoritism to any one party, and we are there to preserve the level playing field of the competition.
So and you're there the whole time, throughout the show then. You must get there before it starts and probably leave after it finishes.
Definitely. We're usually at the competition an hour prior to the start of the show, and we don't leave until it's completely finished and the scores are finally tabulated and the judges can leave.
So how can the competitors utilize the technical delegate whilst they're in competition? As you say, it's important to have that relationship for them to understand what you can do for them and what you're doing for the competition.
Right. The main thing is, if a competitor has a question about the legality of some equipment, they can ask us ahead of time before they use it, and so then there will be no problem later on.
Okay. And now what about with the competition management itself then? Talk about the relationship that TDs have with them.
The TD, we get a copy of the prize list and also the previous year's technical delegate report prior to the show, and we are there to assist show management with any questions that they may have. And if there's a question about an entry, I would really like them to ask us, and so we can look into it and get it resolved prior to the start of the competition.
Give us some examples, Teresa, of what those reports might carry and where they go. What sort of things are you reporting on?
Oh, that's a big question. We report on almost everything about the show. We report the time the show starts, how long the competition runs, who the judges are, if there are any rule violations, if there were any weather problems, if a competitor is eliminated from the show for any reason, we have to report that. It's quite extensive, and we have to send the report within 14 days to USEF.
Does that ultimately go to the FEI then in the case of an international competition?
No, I don't think so. The FEI, our reports just go to USEF.
You're kind of patrolling the entire showground then, and the field of play and off the field of play, so to speak.
That's true. And one point is we can't be everywhere at all times. And so some of the shows are quite large. And if a competitor sees something questionable, possible rule violation or someone mistreating a horse, they should report that to competition management and or the TD. And so then we can investigate it.
So what would be some of the most common issues that you deal with?
Well, some of the common issues are illegal equipment. Sometimes people aren't aware of the rules of the bits or spurs. So competitors really need to review the equipment rules. And also one of the big problems we have is people that are trying to qualify for regional championships and they don't have the correct memberships for the qualifying classes. And a good resource for competitors to look at is the USDF member guide. And at the time of the ride, before they ride their qualifying ride, the rider and owner must have USDF participating membership and USEF membership, and the horse must have USDF lifetime membership and USEF annual or lifetime membership. Some people only have the GMO memberships, and that is not enough for a qualifying class.
So how do you assess that on the ground then, Teresa, to determine whether someone is not qualified to be participating in that class?
Well, I try and I look at the entry blanks. The TDs review all the entry blanks, but sometimes they do slip through. And if someone does not have the correct memberships at the time of the ride, they will get a letter from USEF or USDF, rather, saying that they did not have the correct memberships for the qualifying ride. And that would be unfortunate.
Right. So do you take it up on the spot? I mean, your job as the technical delegate is to take up those issues on the spot then, to tell someone before they go into the warm-up arena?
Actually, it's the competitor's responsibility to have the correct memberships. And hopefully they have the right memberships, and hopefully the show secretary reviews that before they come to the show. And but the TD, sometimes we don't look at the forms prior to the ride, so we try our best, but sometimes we don't catch it.
So you're not actually intervening then before they show?
Well, I would if I was aware of the situation, but I don't review all the entry blanks prior to the start of the show.
What would be some of those common misunderstandings and misconceptions about your role, Teresa?
Well, sometimes competitors think that we are the police and we are there to eliminate them. And the TD does not eliminate somebody from the show. It's the show management eliminates, or the judge. The judge has eliminates for any infractions in the arena, but outside the arena, it's show management. And so we advise show management of the rules, and we do send in the report to USEF after the show.
So is there anything that you would like to say to competitors to help them better understand what you're doing?
Well, if they come and talk to the TD, we love to educate people. I would much rather find something ahead of time and correct an equipment problem ahead of time than after, because I really am there to help the competitors.
Yes, I'm sure you don't want to eliminate them after all the work they put into it, so you're really to help them. Yes, absolutely. You don't want to be the one to spoil their day, do you?
No. And like I said before, the TD does not eliminate. It would be the show management that would eliminate, or the judge. So I would advise them ahead of time so that they do not get in that position.
All right. Do their homework then. Check the rules. Go to the USDF website and the USEF website. Is there anything else you would like to add to this, Teresa?
Well, there are some things that they're not aware that we do. Like I said, we review the prize list. And we talk to competition management ahead of time. And then during the competition, we identify a designated rider and judge to fill out their evaluations of the shows. We inspect the stabling, the grounds, the footing. And then also we may be involved in measuring ponies at a competition with a show vet. And also we accept the medication reports and send those to the drugs and meds people. And then also, if there is an accident involving a horse or a rider, we fill out a report and send that addendum to our technical delegate report.
And then when the arena is dragged and it's then put back together, the sides are then brought in again, are you the one that's responsible then for ensuring that the correct measurement has been returned to the correct measurement? Do you check that after breaks where the arena size has been changed for the drag?
We monitor that. Usually before the start of the show, we measure the arenas and make sure that they're square and that the letters are all in the correct order. And usually when they drag the arena, they just take out a sideboard or a corner, so it doesn't require remeasuring. But we do make sure that the boards are back and that they have a straight line.
Well, lots of things for you to take into account then as the technical delegate at a show. How long have you been doing it?
I think I've been doing it over 20 years. I learn something at every show. It's always a challenge, and it's a rewarding experience. I get to meet a lot of people and show management and like I said, we really prefer to educate people of the rules.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing that with us, Teresa.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you'll find a lot more educational information on the website by visiting eTrack, the USDF's online learning center for dressage and equine education. That's at usdf.org. If you're new to the podcast, you can listen to the show on the go by going to the iTunes podcast store and downloading the podcast to your smartphone podcast app. Just look for USDF in the podcast store. Until next week, thanks for your company. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.